former NFL tight end, Clay Harbor. Clay, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here in Baltimore, Vinny and Haney.
My pleasure. Appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, we want to talk first with you, if you don't mind, about one of your former teams, Jacksonville. And this was a team that, you know, going into last year, I kind of said, hey, you know, there's more to them than just winning the South. I think they could be scary in the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. And then come to find out they don't even make the playoffs as they kind of fade down the stretch. Two-parter for you, Clay. What happened down the end and what's going to be done to rectify that December meltdown here?
Yeah, I mean, it comes back to Trevor Lawrence getting hurt. And the Jaguars, two-part, the offensive line also had the worst run blocking grade according to Pro Football Focus in the entire NFL. So first off, they couldn't block for Travis Etienne Jr., and they couldn't block for Trevor Lawrence. And when Trevor got hurt late in the season, that's when they fell apart. Obviously, he didn't miss that many games, but he wasn't playing full speed. I think they kind of rectified that with getting Mitch Morse from the Buffalo Bills, a center. He's a veteran guy that's played a lot in this league. And Luke Fortner, they trusted a rookie guy, and he came in and, you know, he played admirably, but he just wasn't up to it. And I don't think he's a starting center in this league. A good backup, maybe play some guard, some center backing up. But they improved the offensive line, right? You got Anton Harrison. Now you got Walker a little, the backup. Cam Robinson is back. You did lose Calvin Ridley, but you got Gabe Davis, who is a guy that can do a lot of different things. He can catch a deep ball. You still got Christian Kirk in the slot. And you drafted Brian Thomas Jr., who I thought was one of the best draft picks in the draft. You know, being able to get him at 23, the guy had 17 touchdowns at LSU last year, the most deep receiving touchdowns in college football last year as well. And then you're going to be able to block a little bit better for Travis Etienne. And they also helped the defense a little bit, getting Eric Armstead from the 49ers, the veteran DN. Fits that new defensive scheme they're going to have over there. Obviously, they got the new coach in Ryan Neeson. And I think Armstead is going to add a whole other element there inside. And now you're not going to be able to focus on Josh Allen or, obviously, Trayvon Walker on the edge there. So I think they improved the D-line. They improved the wide receiver core, even though they did lose Calvin Ridley. And you're going to be able to protect Trevor better. So I think the Jaguars are looking up. They're really excited. And, you know, obviously it's going to be a tough division this year with C.J. Stroud and Levis getting older and, you know, everything they got going over there in the AFC South. But I think the Jaguars are a team that people have really forgotten about.
And Clay, to that point, and you mentioned Trevor Lawrence, and this guy was everything and then some coming out of high school, won a national championship as a freshman. He was in the Elway, Andrew Luck, a comparison coming out of college. Now going into his fourth year, what's the ceiling for him? Does he ever ascend to the Lamar, Patrick Mahomes, the other Josh Allen? Is he got that level in him?
I don't know if you're going to say he's Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is probably the greatest quarterback right in the history of the game, you know, not named Tom Brady. But I think he's able to be that second-level guy, you know, right there underneath maybe the Allen and Mahomes and Burrow. And then I think Trevor Lawrence could be in that next set right there, right after those top-level guys. And I think he's shown it, not consistently, but he's shown he can have success in this league, and I think Doug Peterson's going to take back over the play calling this year over from Press Taylor, the offensive coordinator last year. And I think him and Doug have a really good vibe together. They feel each other well, and Doug's a guy that played quarterback in this league. He was an offensive coordinator. He was a quarterback coach, and now he's a head coach. Obviously, the head coach don't want to do that in most times. They want somebody else to be able to call the play so they can kind of oversee the whole team, but Doug's really good at calling plays. I think he takes back over this year, and Trevor shows that he is in that upper echelon of quarterbacks, you know, absolutely top seven, top five, maybe if he can have a little bit more success this year.
Hey, Clay, what did you learn from playing on a lot of different teams about organizations and coaches? You know, like when you went into one, you say, oh, I definitely know we're going to struggle here.
Yeah, I think the main thing is there's just different levels of accountability in different organizations. When I went to the Patriots, and obviously, you know, his career there didn't end well, but Bill Belichick, he just required so much of his players, and there was just such a high level of accountability there in New England that you kind of knew you were going to play well. And I was in there around the Deflategate, and we didn't even have Tom Brady for our first four games, and, you know, somehow we're still winning games. you know, Jimmy Garoppolo went down. Then we even won games with our third string quarterback, so Jacoby Brissett at the time when he was a rookie. So just having that accountability was kind of the difference there. And in Jacksonville at the time, I felt like there wasn't a ton of accountability. I loved the culture that Gus Bradley brought. But for a young team, there was just too much freedom there. And I think a veteran team might be able to win like that. But there was just a ton of freedom there with the things we're doing. And a lot of the young guys didn't realize how much time and effort it took to actually be successful. So for me, the difference was, you know, accountability. And obviously having guys that were veterans helps that because they know what it takes to be successful. But that's the one thing I would say was the biggest difference.
Now, as a former player and as a tight end, you know, rookie quarterbacks that are coming in, how soon did you know or did you feel that, yeah, this is the guy or no, this isn't him?
Yeah, I've got to experience a lot of that. And, you know, I played with Michael Vick, you know, when he was coming back from that first hiatus he had outside of football when he was obviously in prison. And just seeing Mike come back, you know, everybody really thought that this guy was returning to his old form. And then I go to Jacksonville with Blaine Gabbert, Chad Henne, and we draft Blake Bortles. And, you know, we weren't really 100% sure on Blake, but you thought he had some talent to develop. And, you know, didn't really pan out 100% there, but he developed into a decent quarterback for a few years. But then I was able to play with some veteran guys like Matt Stafford, Drew Brees, Tom Brady. And the thing that I'll say is the guys that were successful were the guys that were willing to work more than, it sounds cliche, but they're willing to put in more time and effort than everyone else. And you could see that the guys that were successful were the guys that it meant more too, like Tom Brady. I mean, I come into New England, he's in his 16th season. He's still sitting in the front row in every meeting taking notes. I'm like, what is this guy taking notes on? Is he drawing stick figures? He knows this offense as good as the coordinators do. Like, what could he possibly be taking notes on up there? But that's the type of guy that it takes to be a quarterback in this league, and that's why he was so successful. So for me, it came down to how is this guy able to work? So if I could see a guy that really meant a lot to, that wanted to be better, is in the front row taking notes, staying after practice, really competitive, that's when I knew a player was going to be good. And to me, that's the number one way to tell a young guy coming in if he's going to end up being a successful player or not.
Hey, Clay, what do you think of Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely as tight ends?
I like them. I like Andrews and I like Likely. I think Andrews is, what he's been able to do in the past 4 or 5 years is consistently has been really good. And he's a solid blocker too. He's not a crushing blocker, but he gets the job done. And I come from a generation of tight ends where you had to block, you know, coming out 2009, 2010, you had to do both. And nowadays you've got a lot of guys that, you know, can just line up in the slot and catch passes and motion, and you can put them on the front side of the play, but you're going to arc release them to a safety or to a linebacker. You're going to sift them backside to cut off a defensive end. Not really the tight ends that can stay in and block a defensive end, do a double team to a linebacker with an offensive tackle, run a power trade block down to the middle linebacker. And to me, Andrews is a guy that you can do that stuff with. So that's one of the reasons I like him. Obviously, everybody talks about his pass catching ability, which is obviously very important, especially in that offense. You know, Lamar likes to target those guys, but I like a guy that can do everything and that puts effort into the complete part of the game. So I really like what I see from Andrews. He's been a guy that's just been so consistent over the years. And to me, I look at, okay, this guy's done 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and Andrews is a guy that has done that. So you know, even when defenses are keying on him, without the big threats on the outside throughout a lot of his career, he's still been able to consistently get it done. So I'm a big fan of Andrews.
Hey, Clay, what tight end would you buy a ticket to go watch?
If I had to buy a ticket to go watch a tight end, obviously, you know, you'll say Travis Kelce, and he is. He's the greatest receiving tight end in the league. But, you know, I'll go back to when I was playing Gronk, you know, coming to New England, and I was really excited to see Gronk, you know, up close, like, how's this guy, you know, do, and how's he work? And Gronk was, he could have been an all-pro offensive tackle. That's how good of a blocker this guy was. I've never seen a guy that could get his hands inside and just somehow had the perfect technique every play. And Gronk was just incredible blocker and then would just make plays. That's the only thing I could say about it. I'd watch him up close. I go, okay, why is Gronk so good? Why is he getting open? Did he run better routes than, say, Martellus Bennett, who's on the roster then? No. Was he bigger than Martellus Bennett? No, both those guys were massive, 6'7", 280 pounds. And I remember watching Gronk, you know, make a play one time, and he had like a seam route, and said he bent it in, runs a dig, and Tom throws it to him and hits him for a big gain. I go, Rob, like that was such a good read. Like, what made you do that? And I'm expecting some cerebral answer. He goes, you know, I just saw that the middle was open, so I, you know, I bent it in there. And I'm like, wow. So the guy could just play, you know, and the Gronk, for my money, it doesn't get much better than that. This guy just had a feel. He wasn't going to give you some cerebral, intelligent answer. I'm watching him close up at practice fields. You know, I just saw the dude was open, so I just bent it in there. But, hey, it worked for him. So, for me, it would be Gronk. But today, I would say, you know, maybe George Kittle, Sam LaPorta. I really like how Sam LaPorta runs his routes. The guy's like he runs routes like a receiver. He's got that wiggle. He's got that crossover, you know, that Kyrie Irving to him. And for a tight end, that's really uncommon.
He is Clay Harbor, former NFL tight end. Clay, how can people follow you and find out what's going on in your world nowadays?
Yeah, just follow me on my Twitter page, ClayHarbs82, and I'll be posting all my football content on there and everything I'm up to.